want you to turn to the 7th chapter in Isaiah. Two prophecies, Isaiah 7 and 9. So these two prophecies I'm going to preach on this morning by the word of the Lord. And they're in the Old Testament, but they prophesy something 700 years before it happens. And when it happens, Jesus is born. That's Jesus. Yeah, the one I love. You love him too. So, the one we love. And so, Isaiah, 7th chapter. All right. Now, I'm going to read at verse 14. Is that 14? Yeah. No. 13. Okay. This is to Judah and Jerusalem. This is to Judah and Jerusalem. Therefore, I'm sorry, no. And he said, "Hear you now, O house of David." Hear you now, O house of David. It is 3,000 years ago. This was 3,000 years ago that the city of David was founded by King David, who overthrew the Jebusites. And at that time, he made this the city of David. And that's why Israel and her title, and why what Trump just did a couple of weeks ago is so significant, because it establishes that Israel was there long before Muhammad was born. He was born about 600 AD. And so this establishes that Jerusalem, now they're not going to make World War III over this. But the Muslims know they're bad on history, because 600 years in the new era is nothing compared to 3,000 years ago today. It's nothing. So, I'm gonna now say this, because these are prophecies. These are prophecies. And he said, "Hear you now, O house of David." I'm going to raise a question, but not answer it. When will David be resurrected? When will David, King David, be resurrected? When? Just raising the question. I know the answer, but I'm raising the question. Is it a small thing for you, house of David, to weary men? But now will you also weary my God? That's Isaiah. That's Isaiah. Therefore, saith Isaiah, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, Alma in Hebrew. A virgin, Alma, means they're already betrothed, but they haven't yet consummated the marriage. They're already betrothed, but they haven't yet consummated the marriage. I mean, you know, it's good to wait until you're married. That's what the Bible's saying. And an Alma is someone that's betrothed, but not yet consummated the marriage. In other words, they're man and wife, but they haven't yet consummated it. But once they consummate it, which means they join themselves together into one. They join themselves together into one. That's the way the Lord is going to do it when he comes back a second time. He's talking now about the first time Jesus is born. But he's also talking about the second time when he comes to consummate his betrothal to us. And you have to wait, if you're Jewish, at least a year. Well, that was a long time ago, 2,000 years ago. And on the third day, because it's prophesied, he will come back and marry his bride. Behold, this is the sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, not birth, shall conceive and bear a son. 9 months earlier, she's conceived, and then she'll bear. It's very interesting that the Bible is completely up to snuff. Well, not up to snuff. Up to our vocabulary today, that you're conceived before you're born. Don't just say born. This one's conceived. Why? Because that's when you give a name. That's when you give a name for some peoples. Anyway, in this case, God gives the name and says, this one belongs to me. This one belongs to me. When you were conceived, Jesus Christ, personally with his hand, right hand, index finger, wrote on your heart, this one belongs to me. So you don't belong to an emperor. You don't belong to any king on earth. You belong to Jesus.
Amen.
You belong to Jesus.
Amen.
And no one can replace him. No one. It's impossible. So even though they pretend like they do and people fall for it, no one can ever be. No pope, no emperor, no king, no pastor, nobody can stand between you and Jesus. I mean, Jesus and the Father. But Jesus is the mediator. He's always the mediator because you belong to him. And he has to protect you and he has to defend you if you're righteous. What if you're not? He still protects you and defends you until you die. He still does. He reigns on the just and the unjust. So he loves all men because he wrote on the heart of every man, this one belongs to me, therefore you're guilty if you're not righteous. Otherwise you would not be because you violated your conscience. He wrote it and the conscience bears witness to it. Uh-oh, I did wrong. Uh-oh, you did wrong to me. People are aware of that. You have a conscience that cannot be violated. You have a conscience that all he has to do is everyone on my side bow down and worship me, and everyone not on my side, you can stay standing. But who shall abide the day of his coming and stand in the latter days upon the earth? Everyone with a conscience will stay standing. Only those that bow down and worship God, that'll be us. We worship God, cast our crowns before him, because he is the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
You haven't seen any of this yet. It's coming. It's coming. All you see is the birth. A virgin shall conceive, an Alma. That the word Alma is not virgin. The Alma is not a virgin. This is a virgin who is already betrothed and has a husband. And is it a small thing for you to weary men? Will you also weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And this what? What? Shall name him. Shall give him a name. So this is something that God does. And bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us, which is the interpretation. This will be a king like no other king. In fact, that's why King David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, hasn't been answered yet. And renew a right spirit within me, hasn't been answered yet. That prayer, and I'm saying this deliberately, has not been answered yet. When will that be? When he's resurrected to fulfill that prayer, petition, promise. When? Second coming. The beginning of the millennium. King David will be raised from the dead. King David. Raised from the dead. How many know that God can make dry bones come to life? Well, many then will speak over the dry bones and they'll come to life. A lot to teach on that. I'm not going to teach on that today. Let's go to the ninth chapter. And the 8th chapter is awesome, by the way. But let's go to the 9th chapter. Verse 6. 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son, not female, male. A child could be male or female. This one is male. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Wow. Is this Jesus as Savior or Jesus as King? This is interesting. Because this first time he came as Savior. But we're looking forward to the day he comes back to marry us and become a king. King of kings, and we're the kings he's king of. King of kings. He's not the king of unrighteous people. He's only the king of righteousness. How do you get his righteousness?
Faith.
Faith alone. Sola fide. Sola scriptura. Sola gratia. Solus Christus. Soli Deo Gloria. This is what made the Church of Philadelphia the 6th church just before us. We're in the 7th church age. Since 1836, when Texas became a state, the postmodern, post-Christian world entered. 1836. Those are my numbers. But I dare say you need to pay attention to them. Because after that, God was no longer the God of America. All during the 19th century, modern education was started. The Civil War was fought. And many things began to degenerate as the rich became rich and the poor became poorer. And the middle class soon disappeared. And today, it is nothing. The rhetoric you hear is rhetoric. Is rhetoric. So, the troublous times have not yet begun. The troublous times have not yet begun. And Israel will be punished until the troublous times are over. After that, there'll be the resurrection of the righteous in Israel. Malachi 3:3, which says that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and so on, men of faith, they're all in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, 11th chapter, and they will then come down with Jesus. David will take his place on earth. He'll be the king over Israel, which will be king over the Gentiles. I'll prove that later. So, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. So the government is a gift. The government, remember he said when he was risen from the dead? He was risen from the dead and he said these words. All power, but it doesn't say all power. It says all authority. It can't say all power. So the King James is wrong. It has to say all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Because Jesus is now going to come back the second time and bring us up to heaven.
Hallelujah.
He won't be on the earth. King David will be. And all that's under him. In fact, he may reign from heaven. So, but he reigns in such a way that the Gentiles know Israel has been vindicated, her kingdom has been restored to her after all those years. That hasn't happened yet. That's the future. For unto us a child is born, Jesus, And unto us a son is given, Jesus, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. From then on, he will rule and reign. It will be in righteousness. The time of mercy ends when the tribulation begins. The time of mercy ends when tribulation begins. After tribulation, the Lord will come back and set up his new kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, these things are mysteries. I'm revealing them to you. They're mysteries. But if you're faithful and read the Bible, you can understand everything I said and check it out. And his name shall be called Pele Yaetz El Gibor Avi Ad Sar Shalom. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So, Jerusalem, translated into English, would be God's light brings peace. Sar Shalom. God's light brings peace. God's light brings peace. Yeah. Ru, it's actually O-R. God's light brings peace. So you have to have his light inside of you. So the light brings peace to you personally and everyone else that receives him as king. Because he's born a king. This man was born a king. But he hasn't yet been recognized by the world. But he will be king, and nothing he has ever said has been thwarted by the devil. Everything he has said is being verified by the devil, whether he knows it or not, and he doesn't. Jesus always gets his way. He always gets his way. And Israel will then, Ephraim, my firstborn, Israel again, Jacob, my people, Israel, they will be revived. The dry bones will be raised from the dead. And they will rule over the earth in full strength. These things are in the Bible. I'll let you find them. But you have to read the whole Bible to find these. I'll let you find them. Because when I teach it, I want it to be fresh. And only the secrets will be known to those that read the Bible. So it's a prize that you get. But the surprise will not be when I preach it. It's when you read it. You'll realize, wow, God's always been in charge. He's never lost a battle. He's always succeeded. That's powerful. That's powerful. He's never once been thwarted. His program has never been denied. Jesus is still Lord. He's always been Lord. He was from the foundation of the world. No, even before the foundation of the world, Son of God. Hologos. Hologos. Say it. Hologos. Hologos. The God. And there can be no other. That's what it says in the Greek. To have the definite article, ha, H-O. Ha, logos. That means he is the Christ and there can't be anyone else to be the Christ, the cornerstone, the mediator, the one that stands between you and God. So God is building a temple and we're the temple he's building so that we can live in him and he in us forever and ever. We are the house of the living God. All right. Now, I want to go through these four royal titles. Four royal titles. See if you can think of anything that doesn't belong to these four royal titles. Pele Yaetz. What does it mean? Counsel that is wonderful. So Jesus gives counsel that is wonderful. No other king on earth has given counsel that is wonderful. None. Unless you might think of King David, because he said in Psalm 110, "My Lord," the Father, "said to my Lord," the Son, "this day I have begotten you." In other words, you're Son of God, but I'm going to make you, create you into Son of Man. You'll take the form of a servant so that you can represent me to them and them to me. Do you see what I just said? So the good work that he began in you, he will surely complete. If he promises that,
say it again.
The work that he began in you, he will certainly, surely complete. So if he began something in you, he'll complete it. He'll complete it. You don't have to think about it, but you can think about it. But you don't have to, because it's true anyway. It's written in the Bible. And everything in the Bible is true. Everything. There's no other book on earth that speaks truth like the Bible. And it says it in a mystery so that no others may understand it. It says it in a mystery so that no others can understand it. So people try to read the Bible all the time, but they read it soulishly. They don't read it after the Spirit of God inside their heart. Even though they're born again, they still read it soulishly. They're still troubled by their sins, which God wants to remove. And every day he speaks to us and removes another sin. Another sin. So if you have 360 sins, they're done in a year. If you have 364, maybe. But 365, possibly. But 366, you're in trouble. So you can't do it in a year. But my point is, every day he's sharing another sin that you have, bossy, control freak. You can use any word you want. They're not in the Bible, but the concept is there. In other words, what sin you have is cold when I read the Bible, not passionate. And so you can have a sin all over the place, because anything can be a sin. Loving your son more than the Lord. Abraham was tested on that. I want you to sacrifice your son, and then I'll have tested you, and you'll get an A+ on the end. What? What? I can't. I love him. The Messiah is going to come from him. I can't. God, this is the devil or something speaking to me. That can't be you, God. No. Just do what I say. This is me. Sounds like you, but is it really you? Why would I do that? Why would I give up everything? Because when you lose your life, you find it. When you lose your life, you find it. Just do what I say. Don't question me. Don't ask questions. Just do what I say. Say what I say. He did. And what happened? He spared his son. To say, God doesn't want anyone to make any sacrifice, offering, atonement for his sin. In other words, you're not here to deal with your sin. You're here to deal with your obedience to my command. And when he did it, he discovered something. Wow, God doesn't want human sacrifice. That's evil. He's going to kill his own son. The very thing he had just spoken a few days before, when they were afar off from Mount Moriah, the city of David. Coming back to the city of David. Because it's in the city of David, which is the very place Christ was crucified. Uphill from that. Because the whole thing is Mount Zion. But specifically, the city of David is the lower portion of the city, south. South. Now, Margaret and I were climbing through tunnels 2 or 3 weeks ago. We were in the Hezekiah's tunnel, which is called Shalom. Shalom. Can you say it? Shalom. It means to send. He healed a blind man, put mud on his eyes, and said, go wash in the pool. He's blind. Go wash in the pool of Shalom, and you'll see. So the guy hobbled down there. And I'll tell you, Margaret can tell you, that's a steep hill to climb, is it not? We had to take a bus. We took a bus. I think climbing is not good for me. Maybe Margaret could do it because she's young, but not good for me. Let's hire a bus no matter what it costs. Because that thing is like that. I mean, literally, it just goes up, up, up into the upper city, which is where all of the walls are today when you go to Jerusalem. They're all there. But this is the lower city, which no one sees, but they have now discovered his throne in the city of David. And interestingly enough, when I was there in 2015, representing the state of Texas, officially, that the lieutenant governor and I visited the mayor, and he was talking about Jerusalem and talking about its future, and then talking about every day I visit the city of David. Every day, he's mayor. And sure enough, Margaret and I were walking along. No one else was there. We're walking along on a path, and we were about to descend, and all of a sudden we saw a guy, his back was toward me. We saw a guy sitting there with a television crew. It was the mayor. But Margaret thought I heard it, but I didn't hear him say the mayor, because I know him. And if I would have recognized him, I'd have said, hey, I was here 2 years ago, and so, but I didn't. Thank God for Margaret. And so we didn't have that little distraction. But he was talking about the Jebusite city, 3,000 years old, and he was talking about how they were Canaanites in the land, a tribe, and that David had to overthrow that to make it the city of David. So he changed the name from the Jebusite city, but his ancestor, oh, this is so fascinating. His ancestor, going way back to the founding of that city after the flood, was actually Melchizedek. And Robert Mowery, who is still related to us, Robert Mowery, I think, is the only one non-professional that has ever been in, I can't say, because I'd give it away. So anyway, I can't say what it is, so I can't say it. Because it would be World War III if they found up. He was the original king of Shalom, king of peace. Or he was also Melchizedek. The Zedek means righteous king, the king of righteousness, which Jesus is. So Jesus is born after the king of Shalom, the king of peace, but he's also born after the king of righteousness, and we're the one that he's made righteous. So now you are after the order of Melchizedek. You're a king and a priest and a king. Priest, faith. In the promises of Jesus. King, you'll be ruling and reigning with Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. World without end. It's all in the Bible. All right. So, wonderful counselor. What is the wonderful counsel that Jesus Christ, when he's born and then grows up, what is the wonderful counsel he had at age 30 when he began his ministry? 27 A.D. What is the wonderful counsel he had?
This is my beloved son. My well pleased.
What now?
This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased.
Well,
yeah, Yeah, that was said.
At the baptism, when the dove came down on him.
What did it say? What did it say? What did God say? This is my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. So, Jesus is, not only has two fathers, Abraham for faith, and King David for kingship. So now you are also priest-king. You have the faith of Abraham, he's the father of faith, and you have the kingship. You don't have to be Jewish to have it. Anyone that believes that King David was king and that he was a king after God's own heart is now the king. So you're the king that he's king over, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're the Lord he's over, you're the king he's over.
Amen.
You'll now be free forever and ever. You already are. You don't have to see it to believe it. You have to believe it to see it. You don't have to say, well, I saw it, so I believe it. That's when it's second coming. You will see it, and then you'll be perfected. And you'll actually feel what you believe. You'll actually understand what you believe. And you'll actually want what you understand to believe the truth. So Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and someday we'll see him, and then we'll know inside. You'll have a new heart, new soul, and new body that will actually do the word of the Lord. The second thing it says is El Gabor, mighty God. Any king who's worth anything has to enforce his law. Well, Jesus is now able to enforce his law. How does he do it? Just with a word. You go here, you go here. Just with a word, it's done. And he doesn't need force. That is his force. That he just speaks and it's done. He just speaks and it's done. How would you like to have that gift? You will. In the kingdom of God, whatever you say is what Jesus just said. Whatever you do is what Jesus just did. You'll be king and priest and priest. Male or female. Male or female. Equal. Everyone equal. So, the wife gets the blessing. The husband gets the burden. The next one is Aviad. Avi is Abi, like Abraham, father. Everlasting Father, Aviad, Father who's everlasting. So Jesus actually is Pele Yaetz, wonderful counselor. He has the power to make it happen, El Gabor, and now he is Aviad. He's our everlasting Father just for the righteous, not for the unrighteous, because he's removed your unrighteousness day by day by day by day by day. So that when he comes back, he'll say, well done. What had I done? You didn't do anything, but you let me do it because we're going to marry you. You're going to marry me. And so therefore, if I do it, you do it. So it's always said by kings and queens, we. We. But Queen Elizabeth, for example, the first, wasn't married. So how can she say we? Because this we is the one you're married to. So when you're married to Jesus, she was a virgin queen. Well, she wasn't, but she said it was. She said she was. But she wasn't. And so the point is, Jesus comes back and he says, we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with us, we've now been not only born by God, you've been born out of God. In other words, you share his nature. How? I don't know. Only God can do that. He can do the impossible. So you are actually born of God. You're born of God. You have His name. You have His name. Now, when you arrive in heaven, He will give you a new name. You'll be called by the name of your God. That name is the name that is above every name. It'll never, ever go away. Your natural name will fall away. Maybe He'll give you an initial, but I don't know about that. But you'll have a new name, but it's the name of your God. Only God knows how to name what belongs to Him. Anything you can name belongs to you. Did you hear what I just said? If you say it's a hammer, then it's a hammer in English. But anything you can name is subject to you. It's something that you value added. It's something of nature that you put value to. So now it's yours because you named it, because you created it. You invented it. You caused it to be something it wasn't in nature. Now it's yours because you fashioned that painting. You fashioned that bow and arrow. You fashioned everything that you made in your own tribal understanding. And what it is, that's mine. That's mine. Private property has ever been in the world since it began. There is no such thing as communism. Socialism. Those are lies from the pit of hell. But everyone prefers it because that's the Tower of Babel. In the Tower of Babel, there was one emperor, Nimrod. Everyone else, he changed their name to agree with his. We belong to him. You belong to Jesus Christ. You've been born again. So your natural family passes away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. You have God's word inside of you. That word makes you powerful. You are a King of kings and Lord of lords, though you haven't yet seen it. You already are. And what you say with authority, when you speak, they listen to you. But you have to know who you are. The last one is Sar Shalom. So, Pele Yaetz, El Gabor, Avi Ad, and Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. You bring peace into the world. Why? Because Jerusalem means God's light brings peace. You'll see this word throughout the whole Bible. As soon as you have God's light inside of you, you are now betrothed to Him. Then when you're married, the light will come forth and you'll be perfect. Only God can make a perfect being. And the ones He's working on is His church. You have to be part of His church. He will not accept any other kind of righteousness. If you do it, you go to hell. If you did it and own it, you go to hell. But if He did it, and you're just a steward of it right now, soon you'll be the wife. But today you're a steward of it, and you have to give an account to Him. He said, this is what I did to what you gave me. Like, my ministry has been given to me. I know when it happened, where I was, when He spoke it. I was in Arizona. Scottsdale, I think it's called. Out in the desert. And I know God called me into the ministry. Not what the church said. I know that day I became a Christian. I know it. It's a date. But on that day, I heard the voice of God. Yeah. You are a minister. Now, I bargained with Him, which you're not supposed to do. But I bargained with Him. Now, God, I'm going to make you Lord of my life. I mean, you're the Savior. But I'm not ready to make you de facto Lord of my life, because I'd be a liar if I start out as a liar. Is that okay with you? This is my prayer. I knew I won't be rid of my sins right away. It's going to take a while. Is that okay with you? He didn't answer. So I assumed it was okay, because it was years later until I became perfect. Actually, Margaret laughed because she knows that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I'm still not perfect. But I believe the good work he began in me, he will surely complete. I don't have to complete it. He has to start it, keep it going, and complete it. It's up to him. It's a union deal. You know, that's his job, not mine. I don't do that. I do this. What do I do? Sin, 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 sin. Sorry, 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 sorry. And God forgives me. But every once in a while, I see it's God. I hope this sermon is of God. I want it to be of God. That doesn't make it so. But you'd have to receive it into your heart as I speak it, is that's me. I want to be like Pastor Jim, totally in love with Jesus. Or if not totally, you're at least on the way to perfection. You're at least on the way. I want to be perfect like you. Now, I know that Hugo is. That's for sure. On the way to be another Pastor Jim. No. He's declined that.
I never said no.
In your heart. In your heart. Not in your job task. Yeah, you want to have the same faith I have, which comes by hearing. Comes by hearing. So, he is now wonderful counselor. Then you need power. But the power is in the mouth. Because we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now he's El Gabor. Now he's everlasting father to the righteous, not to the unrighteous. So we have to pray for the unrighteous because they haven't heard this good news that we've heard that makes us believers. So we need to preach it and live it. Especially live it. If you preach something you're not living, they'll call you a hypocrite. But if you actually live it in such a way that they can see, yeah, I think what you did, I've heard God when you spoke that. Wow, you know, wow, I did one good thing anyway. And so you want that, and then Sar Shalom, all of that brings peace on earth. Not only on earth with God, personal, but on earth with God, all men. All men need peace to live together, and nobody ever has. No ever on earth has anyone, any tribe, ever lived in peace. Never at any time. But when Jesus comes back again, you'll see it with your eyes. The millennium will be when King David is ruling over Jerusalem, been resurrected from the dead. And King David will be king of the new Jerusalem, that is, on earth. But we are the new Jerusalem. He'll be king there too. So this is a powerful sermon all about the love of God. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. You see how God wants you to be joyful? Joy to the world. To the whole world. But it's only begun with us. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. That's the first time. The Lord is come. How? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her
king.
Let every heart prepare him room. Remember, there's no room for Jesus in the inn?
Yeah.
But let every heart. He didn't come for rooms. He came for hearts. And heaven and nature sing.
Good.
Peace on earth, goodwill to men, you'll see it. You don't see it today, but when he comes back, you'll see it. All the wicked will be destroyed upon his coming. and the righteous will go up with him to be married to him, and we'll be part of it. As Jesus then destroys the beast, the false prophet, the whore has already been dealt with, and then Satan himself. They'll be bound forever and ever in the lake of fire and never move. They're there forever and ever and ever. So, a lot of details that I am not explaining.
Right.
I want you to know it's a bright future. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. It's got, can't be in the mind. It's got to be in the heart. After in the heart, then it can come into the mind, then it can come into your behavior. That takes time. But first of all, heart, you have a perfect heart, you have a perfect heart, you have a perfect heart. Why? Because you heard these words and believed them and said, that's truth. You wouldn't be here in a small little church like this unless you were silly and ridiculous to believe that this was the place that God might speak something or do something. But God is the God of the unusual. He always has surprises that you know you could actually hear God in a small church like this. And if only Peggy were here, and she is at home, that's our church at home as a church, husband and wife. That's just our church. And I'm preaching away. And if I don't preach, she's listening to tapes so that she gets a hold of the same joy, the same peace, the same wisdom, the same ability to shut up her mind, her will, and her emotions so that she lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because it goes against your mind, your will, and your emotions. Don't ever trust your mind, don't ever trust your will, and don't ever trust your emotions. Most people trust their emotions. They let their emotions destroy the mind, which then destroys the will, which then you will things that are evil. Because you can't solve anything by fear or doubt or self-pity or anger, or lust, bitterness. You can't solve anything by sin. You have to get all the sins out of you. That's what Jesus is doing now. He's cleaning up his bride. He's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness means all unrighteousness, so that you don't have any, so that he can perfect you and then marry you. Because you're a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. To be his bride forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
So much of religion today is lukewarm. We live in the age of Laodicea. But I'm from the 1516, when Martin Luther first got his revelation, not by just the Word of God. He had memorized the Word of God. He knew it inside and out. He knew it in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Brilliant. But that did nothing. He still had angst, anxiety, stress. Now, one day, reading the Greek New Testament was different than the Latin. He decided the Roman Catholic Church was wrong because it wants you to make the atonement and not Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said the Roman Church is wrong, not in its morality, in its theology. The morality stunk, but he wasn't attacking the morality, as did Wycliffe and Huss and everyone that came before. They attacked only and said, well, the Roman Church is still a church, but no. Luther said, the problem is foundational. Foundational. Your theology is wrong. You got it exactly wrong. Man doesn't please God with his works. He lets God's works work on him. Because it's a free gift. That's where you got sola fide, only faith. Sola gratia, only grace. Sola scriptura, only scripture. That's where you got all that. The Roman Church never had that, and still to this day. The present Pope is a humanist completely, 100%, as have been most popes in the past, if not all. And the ones that might have made it were killed. Even in the 20th century. And so anyone that wanted to change the Roman Catholic Church and make it more in the Protestant vein was done away with. Because they don't want people to be, you know, when God is your God, you're free. Because he sets everyone that he owns, governs, free. The truth shall set you free. And then the government can't control you. But if you don't belong to the government, I mean to God, you belong to the government. And then you'll have tyranny and anarchy forever. So, we're the only hope for righteousness. We're the salt of the earth, the light of this world, the dwelling place of the living God. Don't think you're ordinary. This is a gift that was given at Christmas, though you don't deserve it. It's given with your name on it. Dearly beloved, saint. And so if you're a saint of God, don't fix yourself up. Let God do it. Don't do anything for God. Let God do everything for you. Now your worship will be thank you, because he did everything for you. Thank you all for, except for the faith I have. That's my work. No, not true. Your work is to thank him for doing everything. He created you, then he redeemed you for justification by faith, then he sanctified you with the Holy Spirit. Now he's perfecting you through the same blood of the Lamb, and now he's also going to marry you and then give you the prize and the gift, and everything is yours. You will inherit the kingdom of God forever and ever and ever. So what is the suffering of this world? What is the suffering of this world? You've suffered. Don't worry about it. It's nothing to be compared to the glory that's ahead. And besides, it's not over.
Amen.
It's not over until it's over. So take hope in God. Don't fix problems. Let God fix all problems. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. The battle is not yours. Just relax. If you can relax like that, you're free. Because God will protect you. He will see to it that you're not harmed. Anyone who hopes in him will never be disappointed. Anyone who hopes in him, who believes in him, will never be disappointed. You can't be. Because every word he has spoken will come true. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. So he's born a king. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart. Make room. Prepare for him a room inside of your heart. And what? Because heaven and earth was supposed to bring peace, because we're Christians. So let heaven and earth bring forth peace. You're the peace. You have it. You're the only one that has it. If you don't bring peace, you can always smile. You don't have to do this, but you can always smile. it doesn't have to be a grin. I'm just talking about a smile, meaning you're happy. And people can see that. They can see you're at peace. Yeah. They want that. But they don't know how you get it in this crappy, crummy, lousy world. They don't know how you get it. But they can see you have it. How did you get that? Jesus. Oh, that was the wrong answer. They didn't want to hear Jesus. I already tried Jesus and he didn't work. How many have tried Jesus and he didn't work? Everybody. Everybody finds out Jesus is not right early. Not on my time, X. He's not right early. I prayed to you and you haven't answered yet. And it's only 2 hours ago that I prayed and you didn't answer. You know, you can wait and wait and wait. Just give it up. and just trust God, because he has perfect timing on everything. Perfect timing means while you're busy just getting to know him, he's busy cleaning up all the problems that you are supposed to clean up. How many know you have problems that you haven't yet solved? Everyone does. Everyone does. It might not even be in you. It might be in a relative. It might be in someone you're related to. Everybody has problems. Everybody. But perfect peace have everyone. Everyone. Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. So, where's your mind? Above, not below. All your answers are in heaven. There's no answer on earth. I'm telling you right now, there is no answer on earth. There's no life in life. There's no, you know, looking pretty and, you know, cute and smart and all that. It doesn't work. The only thing that works is faith in God. He does it all. Thank him. Praise him. Adore him.
Amen.
He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hope you're blessed today. Any testimonies? Just make it up. Just make it up, because I know you don't have a testimony when you come here. Karen.
Yes. What a wonderful word today. And as we were driving here, Dan and I were talking about the one theme that goes through the Old Testament that God wants is us to know him.
To know him.
To know him. To know that he is God.
He is God.
He's the only one.
That's it. That's better than eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you try to do good and evil, you'll do what you think is good and it ain't. He'll do what you think is bad, and he's not even worried about that.
Yeah.
He's already taken care of good and evil. He is good. Everything else is not. He's taken care of that. So whatever you do is not good. Don't do it. Let it be that Christ in you does it. Give him the glory. Give him the thanks. Give him the praise. All right. So God is good. That's a very good thing. Knowledge. Knowing God. This is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And. Sent means son of man. Doesn't mean son of God. Actually, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are part of the deity. It's the same exact word in the scripture. So you can't say, this one means deity, this one means Jesus, or this one means Father, this one means Holy Spirit. No, you can't do it that way. They're all holy because they're all deity, and they all agree. The Father is greater than the Son if the Son is Son of Man. But when he's Son of God, equal. In fact, it killed him, because he said, thou makest thyself equal with God. So they knew he wasn't just subordinate. They knew he was equal. That's why they killed him. You can't say that. That's blasphemy. So he didn't worry about people killing him. What he wanted to have a good testimony on earth. To show you what it's like for a son to love a father. None of the Jewish people had that, except those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. You know, when you were created, you're in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then it gets blotted out. And then you can lose it again if you're apostate. So your security is not in this world. Your certainty is in that word. Read the word. Don't understand it. Don't try to get something out of it. Just read it. It's so good. That's all I've ever done. That's all I will ever do. I don't care if God spoke to me or not. I'll tell you when he does. I don't always, but I can. But the thing is the word. Read the written word, you'll come to the living word. Read the written word, you'll come to the living word.
Read between the lines.
Read between the lines, right. Read according to the Spirit of God. Because you're spiritual. You are spiritual. Say it. I am spiritual. You're born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. Every day. Every day. All the time. because you live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what proceeds? The Spirit of the living God. That's the Spirit of the Father and the Son, by the way. That's their Spirit, which is their Spirit. So when you speak, when you're seeing the Son, you're seeing the Father. When you see what he's speaking, that's the Father speaking. Jesus never did anything on his own account. Never did anything in his own name. He could have, but he didn't. He didn't. He said, I always do what the Father. I always do what pleases my Father. So that's what my goal is. I want to do that too on earth as it is in heaven. How can you do it? Well, start with be born again. Then have God remove all the sins in your life so you don't have them dominating you. Sometimes they appear, but they don't dominate you like they used to. And be perfected by the blood of Jesus. That's it. Now you're perfect. And then you know what? Wherever you go in the world, you'll meet other people just like you.
Amen.
I don't care where you go. I've been to Muslim countries, Christians there. Right in the heart of the enemy's camp, Christians. Many Muslims in Iran, Christian. Many Muslims in Saudi Arabia, Christian. Wherever you go, there's the church. Could be one person, could be two. But where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. God's in control. God's in total control of everybody who's dependent on him. And you can be dependent. All right, let's close in prayer. Dan?
I got it. So, your message via the Holy Spirit confirms our entire drive from home to church today, which is marvelous.
Right.
Confirms.
Okay. Right.
Perfect. So, it's wonderful to know that my life, your life, Karen's life, our life, names were written in the Book of Life from either before the foundation of the earth or at the foundation of it, whichever. But what did you mean that it was then blotted out? Maybe I misheard.
Okay, when you're born perfectly, because God writes on your heart, this one belongs to me, you're in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll have eternal life. But if you refused by choices, the things that you do and act, you act on what you want. You act on what you want. When you make a decision in your mind and then carry it out in an act, that blots you out if you did it. But if he did it and it was done by faith in his word written down there, that's acceptable to God. He'll receive anything that has Jesus Christ in the middle of it. If you don't have him in the middle, it's not going to work. So everything in the Old Testament, Jesus said these words, John 5:39. John 5:39. You search the scriptures. You think that in them you have eternal life, but it is they that bear witness to me. Everything in the Old Testament bears witness to Jesus. Every dot, every tittle, everything. Because the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. He inspired men to write down what he said, and men wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now he's the only one that can interpret his word. So every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's constantly, continually proceeding, is his word. So you live by him speaking. If he stopped, if he closed his mouth, you'd be dead. But he has a heart. I can prove it, scripture. He has a soul. And he has strength. You were created in his image. He's not a turtle. He's not a cloud. He's not a moon. He is not a creature. So he has heart, soul, and strength, body. Therefore, we do too. That's why we have to live according to him and worship him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. Same as he does. Yes?
I'd just like to just bring out that God was showing you the difference between him and the world. And the way he promises things and the way the devil promises things. And where it says in Luke 2, when the angels come down and they're saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men, he actually meant it, right? And so I feel that every day. But the thing is that the world tries to say the same thing, right? They keep promising you, oh, we're for you, we're for you, we're for you. And at the same time, they're enslaving you, and they're enslaving you even more. And it's just like the devil. The devil will promise right. you all kinds of things, like we're seeing in the media right now, right? They promised them sex, 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 and now they're getting all right. getting in trouble for it. And then right. the news, the truth, 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 and they're nothing but lies.
Right.
And so it's just like the devil. There's such a stark contrast
right.
between the world and God.
Correct.
Because sometimes we think, at least I do, that God's not working. Because like, I like what you said. I'm asking for things, or I'm showing him things that, like, confessing sins and stuff like that. And sometimes they just don't seem like they go away.
Right.
But we still press on.
Amen.
He's the one who actually has the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't it interesting that you live in this crummy, rotten, no good world, and God can protect you?
Yeah.
I mean, what's amazing is not how many wicked people there are. It's how many righteous people there are, and how are they alive? How do they even exist in this rotten world? Because God protects you. He protects you, and He won't let you fall apart until He's ready. You don't die on your own, not in an accident or anything. He guards everything. He knows everything. It's according to His will.
Amen.
You cannot die until He says, "Okay, now you can't do it," and you don't know how He does it. So, Jack, close in prayer.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We can't live without it, but with it, we live forever. And we're just totally dependent on you. We thank you that you're in us and we're in you and we have eternal life. You are that life. We thank you for it. We pray for Joe right now, for Joe Abadi. Yes. Carl's passed on. We also thank you, Lord, for lifting a great burden on Joe.
Yeah.
You're the only one who can make things right, even when it seems bad to us. We praise you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.